We have learned Sif Aleph and Beis. Sif Beis, we discussed the issur of having fish and meat together. And there were two major things that we discussed last week. One was the Matiyanisin on Sif Aleph. And the other was the Taz on Sif Beis. The Taz on Sif Beis held that Sakanto is not Batul B'Shishim. That was the Chiddush of the Taz, that if you have fish and meat which mix in a manner in which it's Batul B'Shishim, that does not help. By Isser it helped Ben. So you have a drip of fish that falls into a pot of meat, or a drip of meat that falls into a pot of fish, that it's not Batul B'Shishim, because Chamira Sakanto Me'Issura. The Nekudas HaKesef disagreed, and he said that no, it is Batul B'Shishim. The poison of a snake is different, it's very strong, so poison is not Batul B'Shishim. But otherwise, other sakanas are. I wanted to learn with you Pesachei Tshuva Gimel, who brings a whole list of Tshuva Sachrayinim. What's interesting is that just about everyone is Mekel regarding Batul B'Shishim. Everybody's Mekel, although today we're Baruch Hashem, we live in a rich society and people throw away food all the time for lesser reasons than this. If you were to tell somebody who calls with a shayla, well, the Taz holds it's a sakana. But don't worry, the Nekudas HaKesef and the whole list of Achrayim hold it's not a sakana. I think most people tend to be more halavai, they should be afraid of Isurim as much as they're afraid of sakanas. So I think most people are machmir. I should mention that the Be'er HaGoyla on the next page does bring the Taz, which implies that he paskins that way. It's not just the Taz, it's a Daki Moshe and a Marshal. So there are those who hold that Sakana is not bothered.
Taz have any limit? No reservoir question. You stop the fish, use the reservoir. You can't drink out of the meat. Anyone in the reservoir can't drink of meat.
So what's the limit? I don't know. I don't know. If snake poison fell into the reservoir, what would they do? Okay. I don't know. The question's a good question.
Somebody told me that you were shopping in Trumas that something's not about the future as well as the material.
Okay. So you have an answer. Okay. He's talking about Sakanto? He's talking about Shai B'Chametz, we don't pass him that way. We pass Chametz not bubble in a thousand. Okay, I don't know. Let's learn the Pesachei Tshuva Gimel. To me, it's Batul B'Shishim. The Pesachim say it's Mutter, it's Mutter. That's what it seems to me. Do we understand the sakana? We don't understand. Certain things we understand. These are things we don't understand. We have a Kabbalah from Chazal. So there's a rule by things that are not logical things that ain't l'chabayi esim chidushay. It's a rule that you don't have more than what Chazal said. And
But the
other side, the says there, it's
so,
different.
So
the Kakali.
The Yoshua's question is the same thing. Up to what point?
I don't know. Let's learn Pesachei Tshuva Gimel, a number of interesting points. Ayin Be'er Heitev, L'yadavishu Sakana, Yibatul B'Samach. Vayim Tshuva Schavis Yoyer. Sheposak Lohokel, Debatul, V'chein Kosev Tshuva Shus Yaakov, Say Simukov Dalit. V'she'ein Lahachmir Klal, V'chein Kosev B'Tshuva Schut HaShoni. The Davka Oris Nocha, She'ein Ebatul. Davka poison is not Batul, Gemash Kosev Tori L'chayshin L'gilu, Yafilu B'mem Salamayim. So you have three early achrayim, the Chavis Yoyer, the Shvus Yaakov, and the Chut Hashani, are all Mekel. Umashahevia Tazrayim Imaril, the Pamachas Nofla Shalchufis Medog L'Kderes Basar, that once the skin of a fish fell into a pot of meat, Vasa Maril Asakol Mishum Sakana Insham, Kvar Hisigal Allah Bala Shach B'Nekudas HaKesef B'Tshuvas Chut Hashani. Who says that they were shishim? What's his kasha that we find the maril was machmir? A fish that fell into meat, it could be there was shishim. I guess that even Shachufis dog, even the blia of a fish, the maril is a kadmai. So he says that even though it's only a blia, it's not the end, they pulled it out, it still lasts. When I started near the Makamak and Mechiachata Shapir, the Tema de Beikashishim Shari, Lahachi Asamaril, Misham de Loyhoya Samach. If it's true that it's Bottle and Shishim, Yiksha Lamalai Tziva She Sifu Ad Samach Kadesh Dispatel Atam Sheldag. You have a chap? If it's Bottle Beshishim, when fish falls into meat and it's less than a 60th, why not tell the people to add more? Until it's batal b'shishim, dafti be isurim asa lahisif. Mishum bevatal es lachat chila. Kedisim b'sadik test. Evav. Mekamakem halcha bevadei l'shech bevatal iser. Shari ein ze iser. Rakhazar sham gishin tam shal dag b'kderes basa yesh b'sakana. It's not iser. Just as long as you taste it, it's dangerous. Kushis sifu v'layoy tam dag. Morgish b'kderes basa layoy tzakana. Kvalik akasha. If you hold it's batal b'shishim, why don't you say that you should add and be mevatel it? Skipping the parentheses, gam efshal l'soich day l'shayach. Skipping both the parentheses and the brackets, gam efshal l'soich day l'shayach elim nivla bechaticha v'loy bedavalach. The sugi of efshal l'soich day, he says, there's no shayach is here. Elavadei daf b'kashishim aser. So this is a Leonidas Daiti, the author of the Pischei Tshuva, is writing to defend the raya from the Maril. Makamakaim, even though from the Maril it's a good raya, Ladina ha'ikuk tshuvas hanal de batel. The din is that it's batel. Okay, now we have the brackets that were added in the Chassam Sofer's tshuvas were printed between the time the first printing of the Pischei Tshuva was and the second. So it was added here, you have in brackets the Chassam Sofer's tshuvas. Every time a Chassam Sofer's brought in Pischei Tshuva, it's bracketed because of the fact that it was added later. I think I once mentioned to you that you have a cross-reference. Pischei Tshuva says, look what I wrote in this siman of cut and so-and-so, and it's not there. What you do is you look in that siman, there are some Pischei Tshuvas that are, the entire piece is a bracketed piece. It was added in the second printing, and therefore it throws the numbers off a bit. So usually it's one or two back, and you find it. But at any rate, gam b'tshuvas chassam sofer. He brings us some sefer on the shayla of fish and meat. Simik kofal of kosef shekein iker. They can be mekel. B'sham nishal oidos morek shel dagim. The fish juice or fish brine. Shayriku oisa l'tech kli shuman. Ula'acha shenitztan and hisiru ha'sham and shenikrash. There was a mixture of fish juice and fats. Now when you let fats cool, it congeals, it rises, and they skimmed it off. Madim morak v'hadagim. What is the din now of this? Is the separation good enough? The fact that when it cools, it naturally separates, is that good? V'heishit. Hine b'surim kai gavna b'inu l'shar b'samach neged kula v'loy mahani mashah siru iser shenikrash. By iser, we're not makel on this. Ayin shasim usul chesim katan tez zayin. Kei l'choyer m'koshkin hocha b'sakanta d'liyin sveika chamir sakanta me'isur l'kuli yama. When it comes to a suffix, everyone agrees. Chamira sakanta misura. That would not make on suffix. Ivram, achad dechazin Allah Rambam. Now listen to this. The Samsaifa says, we see that the Rambam, the Rav Guvrei, berefuais vitiviais, who was an expert in things that have to do with healing and nature, shehishmit ha-debintza datfuyi vahadei bisra, who left out the danger of meat and fish. Mistami knew that the nature changed. It's true we're not going to be semech on the Rambam to go against the Shulchan Aruch to eat them together. Nevertheless, we gain. You have some cipher. He says the danger of fish and meat has passed. The Rambam says it's not dangerous. Why are we machmir? Because Chazal made an iser, so we stick with the iser. But now it's not sakanta anymore. Now it's isura. It's something that we're machmir because Chazal once upon a time asked it, so we don't take the liberty of being meikel. V'avshir shekam bizman namloy ha'yisakana ela b'min binsa. Only one type of fish. V'lo b'min ha'matsuyim b'neinu klal. V'leka la isakal d'rabanan. He d'davish b'min d'ayraisi. Something that Chazal asked is a dairaisa, haynu anesa, mishum siyog v'geder iser. Even by this deraisa, you could try to measure 60. Oy devshay de iroi de the alamavli o matnuli gazu bezefel bezmenayim. Arianu neigin lahok alecha basa bekli dagim ben yaimai. See, some cipher who's big into the Hungarian minhagim says that the minig is to be makel to eat meat cooked in a fish pot, even a ben yaimai. Efilu baisa suda adecha bi alma. Alma kimlan de lakasakanta bubule tami bi alma. So we see we're not worried about tam, we're only worried about ben. It was tam that went through a pot, he says, we're makel. So therefore, he says that when you skim it off, you could try to measure as best you can to shishu.
Does he mean it was cooked in the pot, or mean it was olive?
Well, he says, b'kli dog in ben yayma, he apparently, maybe he means with iroi.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. What's his raya then? Maybe his case was also iroi. Okay. U'makamakem ha'shumat she'nikri she'sha'ayim b'k'tzas. On shuman that congealed, maybe it's different. Maybe in the congealed fats you'll find some fish brine, beni itfi, between the cracks. V'oz yesh lesser bevadai. Avol miyev shalamid alav nira dein lahach mirkol kach. So if some sefer is mekel more than any of us would be mekel, none of us would be mekel, then a fish and meat mixed, we would let it turn cold and skim off the meat and eat the rest. But certainly, to be measure echa b'shishim, where we know it's echa b'shishim, that certainly we can be meikol.
On both. Well, the brine.
Said the Shaz on both.
At the end, he said
by the brine.
Maybe some of the fish brine went up into the fat, but the fat overrides up to the top. That means to the bottom.
Right.
So he's still chayish. He's still chayish for the fish.
No, it's chayish only for the shuman.
The Rambam said no fish and meat. Where's the makor for fish and milk?
It's very interesting. The makor for fish and milk is a Beis Yosef in the first volume of Yeridaya. There it says fish and milk without any source. The Shach writes that it's a printing mistake. Nischalaf loy basar b'chalaf, he writes in amusing language. He says the printer got mixed up between basar and chalaf. He should have written basar b'dagim and he wrote chalaf b'dagim. And therefore, most of us are not machmir. The Sfaradim, since it's a Beis Yosef, the Sfaradim are machbid.
They don't hold it's an error.
What?
They don't hold it's an error.
They're chayshish, that's not an error, right? And maybe they hold it. Even if the Beis Yosef made a mistake, that's enough of a reason to be machmir. You know, if the printer made a mistake in the Beis Yosef, it's also, I don't know. Kishkoga Yosef Neashal. What was the Beis Yosef's mistake, or some worker who made it? He says, I think, Ulay Nischalaf Loi. I don't know which way he means. Okay, maybe. I understood that. So we make on cheese or on cream cheese and lox. We're not makbid, but the Sfaradim don't have cream cheese and lox. There's a bris across the street in Shari Shalom today at noon. I told them, you're inviting me, you're not going to have bagels. He said, no, it's a bagel whole bris. Now whether they're going to have cream cheese and lox, that I doubt, but it's a mixed marriage. You know, she's Sfaradi and the husband's Ashkenazi, so maybe they'll have it. The coolest of both. By Ashkenazim, that's what it says, although none of us have milk with it anyway. No. There are achronim who write, including the Aruch HaShulchan, that it's enough to be makbid on milk itself, which it says, and not cheeses. But the Sfaradim, my understanding is that the Sfaradim are makbid on cheeses as well. Fish. Right, you're makbid on cheeses, right? What's the difference between milk and cheese? See, that's the thing. So you would need bagels and lox with cream cheese. No, it's not Shulchan Aruch. It's only the Beis Yosef. It's not Shulchan Aruch. The question is that if you say it's an Isser, not a Sakana, like some cipher, it would answer why the Maril didn't say to add to it. Very good. Okay. Fish. It's hard to say, but I think Darach HaShulchan says, if I recall correctly, to be machmer on milk and not on other things. It's hard to say minig because very few people have a taiva to have milk and fish. It's not a commonly
food. Well, you have a coffee with your bagel. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's hard to say a minig.
Be
machmer.
Life is hard.
Rebbe, we cook with butter and fish.
Butter, yes. The question is milk. The very end of Pischei Tshuva, the benafel dag lekedera in vasser ayipra, haya oiser hakli beloy hagala. You hear? If you had milk, not milk. If you had meat and fish cooking in a pot, you say you have to kasher the keli. Daftem mevashlim dog in bekli basa ayipra. Even though you're allowed to cook fish in a meat pot or meat in a fish pot. It doesn't become treif because of a blia through a pot. But once you have fish be'en and meat be'en that cook in a pot, the poison was created. You follow? There's a difference, he says, between cooking meat in a fish pot or fish in a meat pot, which is mutter, or well, not pronounced, it's a tam kolosh, or if you have meat and fish in a pot and it blia went in, so then he says that you have to be machmir to kasher it. And in brackets he brings I say for adam shakosav dim nafal. What's that? Shemamis shakarin shpin techalamash because Yehuda Dainu Mayal Shishin, the Tam Shum Aras. I don't know exactly what this is, or even not exactly.
Yeah, right.
Oh, this is poison, but Myrus Shakur Shpin? A worm? Oh, so it has nothing to do with fish and meat.
A spider.
Oh, so it has nothing to do with fish and meat. If a spider, he means a poisonous spider. So Shishin doesn't help because it has poison. Mayimogan Avram, Shakos Yachami Elephim, Misukenis, the Michael Efshi, Yeshluch Melahatak, one of the Samachim, it's also to say Fabris, Dame Maris Claw. Okay. All right. Anyway, while we're ending up with fish and meat, is that where it was certainly machmir mikra din? It's certainly batel b'shishim. A person could be mekel on batel b'shishim. We said last week we're machmir on poultry as well. That was the previous pesach tshuva. And if someone wants to be machmir, he'll be machmir. Yeah.
We go that spot to b'shishim. We're also machmir.
It seems not. The Maril didn't tell him to do it. The kash is good.
He might have held that.
It's two possibilities. Either he held that it's not batel, or he held that it's Isser, and Isser you can't be mevatel. So.
And is there a difference between Ben Yamin and Ben Yamin all of
this? Yes. One of the achrayim I saw, he disregarding the kashering, he says that it's enough to wait to Ben Yamin. I don't recall where I saw it. I think I sort of made notes, that's why I don't recall where. Probably in Daka Chuvin. Okay. If we would understand it, then you're right, it could be subject. But I don't think we understand if the mixture is like your example of a protein, which Philip Amashu, or your example is example in the Sinas Tam. So maybe that's what they're arguing about.
Came with one to do, at least study medicine will come up with.
Generally, we don't take the shoulders to make scientific discoveries or scientific pronouncements that contradict something that's beferish. Now, if we understand what's beferish, if we would understand the sakana of meat and milk, then we can go on and say that that we can do studies and decide how far it applies. I'll give you an example. We're going to have later that you're not allowed to put a coin in your mouth. It's us to put a coin in your mouth. Why is it us to put a coin in your mouth? So Shulchan Aruch says, maybe there are germs on it. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So in Achinami, we understand why. So if you were to take a coin and you were to sterilize it, so you want to put it in your mouth, you could put it in your mouth, because Chazal say that the reason it's us is because of this and this. In the case of fish and meat, we don't have that understanding of the original Isser that we should be able to have some type of study. The question's good, but to us it's not relevant because the Shulchan Aruch brings it. The Shulchan Aruch brings it. The part of the big debate over science, it has to do with Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam's statement that we have no obligation to accept, we have an obligation to accept the Messiah of Chazal, but not a factual statements that are made in Shas based on the science of the time. That's Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam's statement, which is somehow understood to be the Rambam Shita, because the Rambam does ignore almost all, not all, of the pronouncements of Shas regarding Sakana. Now, the question whether that becomes halacha is debatable. But clearly, once something is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that was the Beis Yosef saw the Rambam. And he saw that the Rambam leaves it out. And the Beis Yosef brought it anyhow. So there are two possibilities. Either he disagrees with Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam's pronouncement, or he agrees with it, but he says, who says the nature changed? Once it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, we're stuck. We really can't. We can't go any further. Now, there are sakonis mentioned in Shas which are not brought in Shulchan Aruch. And that is open to a lively debate as to whether those sakonis are things that we have to follow or not. And there are those who feel on both sides of the issue. Leaving eggs open overnight, for example, which the Shas says is a sakana. They are machmirim and they are mekimim. So that's legitimate because it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch, so you can have that argument. But things that are brought in Shulchan Aruch are here. Right, he only uses it as tziruf. We know
the arspides, which are poisonous.
Yes, he probably means the ones that were common around. I guess, yeah, if you know it's poisonous, poison. Okay. Achinami. Certainly, not any poisons, that's for sure.
One is eating fish.
Do you need a hacker? Is that the question? It's funny that the Dr. Tshuva brings those who say you need a hacker. How do you make news gazeris? I don't understand it. Dr. Tshuva brings those who say a hacker. Yes. It's interesting. The isser is the chiyuv d'oraisa of nishmarta moed l'nafshei seichem, and it becomes a din d'oraisa, really. It becomes a chiyuv d'oraisa. It was chamir sakanta misura, but it's isser too. So we're going to discuss that in Sifhei about how much of a sakana. We're going to discuss that in Sifhei. Our Ramesh has numerous tshuvas on the question. Okay. In regard to what? You have to kasher it? If it's cooked together, the question was, do you have to kasher your pats? I don't know. I don't know.
Didn't the
Pesach
just come out that way?
Yes. He asked, his question was, if we passed
the way.
That was his question. All right, let's look at Sif Gimel. This is an extension of Sif Beis, back to Sif Gimel. Yirchat Yadav, Vein Basel Adad, V'yachol Pashoi Beitayim, V'di Lichot Zapeh. Those who go with the sheet of the Beis Yosef are obligated to wash their hands between fish and meat, and to eat pas shruya, bread which is soaked with liquid, which cleans out the mouth well, k'day lirchot piv. So this is the Mechaber Shita, that one is obligated to go so far as to wash what we call mayim emtsoyim, the middle waters, which has all the dinim amayim achrayim. It doesn't need a kli, it needs only until the knuckles, and that's a concept of mayim emtsoyim, that's the shita of the Mechaber. However, the Ramah argues, the Ramah says, Hagav, yeshemrim dein lochush lezeh. The Ramah shita is that you're not obligated to wash your hands. Maybe the chayisr is only if they're cooked together, but not eating one after the other. It doesn't say, he says that there's no isr eating one after the other, and therefore you don't have to wash out your mouth. You don't have to wash your hands. He says you should eat and drink something in between anyway. It sounds like some sort of a pshara. The Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Ayin Gimel brings the following. It seems to be something of a contradiction to me. He brings the following. He says, we're not chayshish to wash our hands between fish and meat. You all know, on Shabbos, we eat fish, we eat meat. We don't wash our hands. You wash your hands. You know, you also. So, b'siyam de makom akayim yesh lechol davar veitayim v'lishtais. So, Mishnah Berurah says to eat and drink in between. However, in the Shara Tzion, he brings the following. He says, Shara Tzion beis b'chach mesadam kasav zel l'shoinei yesh daigin lechitz yedayim be'basav v'dagim. Some wash their hands, it's not necessary. You should drink something. He doesn't say to eat anything. He says just to drink something in between. So it appears from the Sharatzian that it's enough to drink something in between, and you don't necessarily have to eat anything in between. And the minik somehow is to drink, the makbe to drink, but not afka to eat. So
is there a waiting period on if you don't drink?
No. You should drink something in between, yeah.
Should one wash their hands after a haircut?
I don't see the connection, but yes, one has to wash their hands. Even if he didn't have fish. The Reb Kivag will get to it today. Now, oh yeah, there's somehow this idea that all little boys have, and when we grow up we're not sure if it's real. Little boys all say that you're allowed to eat fish and then meat, but not allowed to eat meat and then fish. Did you ever hear of that? We have a little boy?
Yes.
Right? Somehow elementary school kids all are positive that it's only fish and then meat, not meat and then fish. So there's the grown-ups say the same thing. There's zero marker for that. It has no basis. I mentioned to people that in Zemiris and Shabbos, we say, basar v'dogim v'chol matamim. We talk about meat and then fish. Meat. Yeah, there's no problem with it. In general, they should eat lighter foods. Okay, that, okay. Okay, so that, we're finished with the fish and the meat. We move on to Sif Dalid. Somebody had a Shaila. Interesting Shaila. He was cooking, or she was cooking, rather the wife of someone who's always here Sunday morning, but he's not here today. He was in the country for Shabbos. But she was cooking for Shabbos, and the meat spritzed onto the pot of fish, not into, but onto the outside of the pot of fish that was cooking on the stove. So the question was whether spritz of meat should aser the fish. Now, my assumption is that there's shishim. And again, the old question, are we machmer, mekel, and bittel b'shishim? So here, there are two yediyas First of all, Rabbi Kivega talks about it. We're going to see it in a minute. Maybe I won't even see it. Rabbi Kivega is Mekel. He says, Beferish, that if a spritz falls on the outside of the pot, that you can be Mekel. It's the first Rabbi Kivega. He doesn't make any difference. He says, if Nafal Shulman al Daifin al Klima Bechutz, Dein Eiser, Davarak Blias Hakli. If you have the normal Prince of Shulchan Aruch, it's on the previous page, the bottom line of the Rabbi Kivega. He says, "Mazel lamed a prima gadim." He's calling prima gadim leil. The bishlu dagim bekleiv enough for shuman al daif and aklima bechutz. Dainay aiser. Now we operate says ainay aiser rak blias kli. The new prints have it corrected. Dainay aiser to have a rak blias hakli, something like that. To have a rak blias hakli. But anyway, the point is that Rikiv Eger is beferish meikel. So the argument is, it's like cooking fish in a pot. So I'll tell you, there is a chavis das, which is important chavis das to know for Yeridaya. The chavis das is in the beginning of Simet Tzadik Hei. Chavis das holds that when something is cooking on the stove and a spritz hits it from the outside, that does not have a din of a blia through a kli, has a din of be'en. While it's cooking, and the pot is hot with the food inside, that something that spritzes on the outside is kilo it fell inside, and that's the chumra of the chavis das. The achayelkim, it's hard to say a minig to be mekel or machmir. My understanding, my recollection is that I think the rapam was machmir, but I've heard that the amekilim. But according to the chavis das, it would seem, if he's talking about a metzias, that the metzias is that while it's cooking, a blia that hits on the outside, he's talking about a metzias, then the metzias should be the same here. Then it would be asin. You see, here is an example of the idea that on bittel b'shishim, the taz is machmir. Most achrayim are meikel. The feeling of people is to be machmir. But when you have a tziruf, as a sniff, you certainly can be mekel. You have to remember, most achrayim are mekel on bittel b'shishim. If you want to be mekel, you mekel anyway. Here, where it went through the wall of a kli, or Rikiv Eger, and he brings the prima gadim, it's beferish mekel. You want to be chayshish for chavis das. Chavis das didn't even say it about fish and meat. So here, certainly it can be mekel. You have two strong tzerufim. You have Rikiv Eger, the prima gadim, one mekel. And you have the idea of bittel b'shishim, which even though the akadmainim who are machmir, but the achrayim are all neman to be mekel. And therefore, it appears that certainly a person could be mekel in such a case. Yeah, it's talking about Masa B'chai, it's not talking about fish. A second shiloh which comes up, and I think the Velt is mekel on this, if you cut an onion with a fleshiger knife, can you put it into the fish? People who cook fish put onions in the water. They don't eat the onions with the fish, I think. But they put it into the water, so it should. They put vegetables or onions into the water, and they can fill the fish, right? You throw out the onions, but you eat the. The question is, if the onions were cut with a fleshiger knife, whether you can put it into the fish pot or the chumra of a dava charif, should it apply in such a case? So here, I don't know of any tshuva on the topic. However, remember we had said that when you cut a dava charif with a treifa knife, that dava charif then gets put into something else, it's batel b'shishim. Even though we have a rule that a dava charif is not batel b'shishim, we said that's only when the dava charif is the gufa iser, when the onion is an onion of iser somehow. But if the onion has a blia of iser, ein ha-nesar, the onion is a nesar, ein ha-nesar yachal esar. In other words, the blia is batel b'shishim, even though the onion is not batel b'shishim. So that was the that certainly would apply here. And here again, you have the tutsaruf. You have bittel b'shishim, because the I'm not talking about eating the onion. The onion has a blia of fish and a blia of meat, but I'm talking about eating the fish. The fish, there's a bittel b'shishim on the blia of the meat. Plus, Rabbi Kivager holds that if it goes through a kli, it doesn't aser. Okay, you could argue that a charif maybe is different, but certainly it's a tzirif to be mekel with me ikar adin. It's mutter anyway, because we be ikar adin, it's bafel b'shishim.
Why should the Kivager then cooking in the fish pot?
The question is if a dava charif is different, that's why. A dava charif, there's no napar nat, so maybe it's worse.
It makes the bli and the knife.
more bad.
Than if you didn't knock yourself directly.
Right.
That's the question.
And remember, that issue is a suffix. We're not bekeem on what's the kairit shel chiltis and what's not a kairit shel chiltis, right? So we're makor on all davar charev. But here, where it's bottle b'shishim anyhow, and the ikur is to be bottle, so my bottom line that I'm trying to say is, whether you're going to be mekel on bittul b'shishim or not, I can't tell you. I think the ikur lahalach is to be mekel, but you have the taz, the marshal, and darkei maishu say it's a sakana. But if you have a tziruf, certainly you could be mekel. The tziruf is the suffix of a dav acharif is nechayil le shvach by the dog. It's not a kurech al chiltis, it's always a suffix. No, but he says efshel l'saytay by a meichel, he says by liquid. What does he say? There's no chash by liquid, only by solid. No, so efshel l'saytay will machber on a solid, not on a liquid. That was his lashon. Right? Gam efshel l'saytay l'shach elon nivla b'chaticha. V'loy b'davalach. He's only making on efshel l'saytay by davalach, not by a chaticha. So yeah. Right. Yeah, the question is the Dov Acharef is different. That's our question. Right. Okay, Sif Dalid. Tzarech Lizoer Mizeyasa Adam. Now here, it appears to be something that doesn't come up very much. It says here, Tzarech Lizeyer Mizeya Sa'adam. If anybody Zeya Sa'adam, a person has to be masmir on sweat. Shekol Zeya Sa'adam Sam Hamodes. Sweat is poison. Chutz Mizeya Sa'ponim, with the exception of the sweat of the face. The Shach says, V'simul Adav Zey Sa'pecha Teich Alechem. If you have sweat of the face, you can eat the bread. Nice smachta. But otherwise, it says here that sweat is a sakana. The Dakechuv has an interesting shaila about someone who dropped his tefillin shel roish into a pot of cooking food accidentally. And the shaila is whether it makes a treif, not the tefillin, the pot of food. So I guess the tefillin he took to be checked. The question is whether it's treif because the hide of from which the tefillin are made have to be from a min behematayra, they have to be from a kosher animal, but they can be nevela. And therefore, the question is whether it makes a treif. So what's interesting about the shai, the tshuva, is he says, look, the or is nisiavish keitz. Tefillin is already dry keitz, and it's not mavliya. He says, what about the zeya? The zeya that's on the bottom of the tefillin, he says, if he's an Amo Oretz, who wears it on his forehead, so then it's mutter, because Zeis HaPecha is mutter. But if he's a person who wears it on his on the head, so he says that it's Aser, and he ends in Mekom Akaim, he's certainly Mechuyev to fast. For dropping the tefillin in, he said, that's what
she
says.
Yeah. He said, it's better to be an Amoritz?
No, he didn't say that. That's, now, I do have to tell you, I have a little issue of confusion here. I'll tell you why. Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Dalet, right in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Siman Dalet are the times you have to wash your hands. There in Sif Chof Aleph, it says that if you touch a Mokim Zeya, a sweaty part of the body, you have to wash your hands, even in the middle of a meal. You're sitting at a meal, and a person touches a Mokim Zeya of the body, he has to go and wash again, and Machlekes, if he has to make a new Natios Yadayim, and we don't make it, it's a suffix, but Lamaisa is a chiv to wash if you touch a Mokim Zeya. Now, I would think it has nothing to do with this. You know, Mokim Zeya is not clean, you have to wash, and here it's Amam Avis. But the Mishnah Brura brings, he says to Linyaka, he says, because Zeya is Amam Avis, as it says in Yeredei Kuf Dezayim. Now, this is the point that confuses me. There, it says that any Zeya of a Mokim Megula is mutter. In other words, sweat at any part of the body that's normally uncovered, certainly the hands, Mishabur says the neck ad hachoze, until the neck bone, or the sleeve, for most people who wear short sleeves occasionally, so certainly up to the elbow, that these places are also mutter. According to that, what it says here, chutz mezeyas haponim, I would understand to mean chutz mezeya of anything that's an open part of the body. And many times a person sweats, or the neck sweats, and a person wipes his sweat, and does he have to wash? The Shema says you don't have to wash. The sweat of the neck, you don't have to wash. And therefore, it would be a tremendous nafkamina. I don't think we eat food that has sweat in it, typically. But in the theory of what it says here in Halacha, that the Zeya is Aser, I'm not sure if the exception of the Zeya of the Panim, whether how far it applies. Now, there is one point which is a little ambiguous, and that's the following. Now, I'll talk about Tehillas Yadayim, because that's what it's talking about. It says that if one scratches his hair, he has to wash his hands. It also says that not a yada. I'm reading from Kusam of Beis of Ches. Not a yada. V'shifshif b'raishai. If you wash your hands for mitzi, and afterwards shifshif b'raishai kedei l'nagva. You wanted to dry it, so you rubbed it against your hair. So it says that that doesn't help because the hair itself is a makom tumah. Now, what I'm confused about is the following issue, and I'll read to you the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah from where the confusion comes. I'm not sure. It says two things. It says if you scratch your hair, you have to wash your hands. And it says that if you touch a makom mechusa of the hair, you have to wash. I'll read the Mishnah Berurah in a minute. Question is, what's the pshat? Is it the two together? Which means, if you scratch your hair on the part that's under your yarmulke, the part that's mechusa, then you have to wash. Or is it either or? Is it, if you touch even under your yarmulke, it's a makom mechusa, it's no different than you touch your chest, you have to wash. And if you scratch even not under the yarmulke, you also have to. You follow what I'm saying? Is it tarti l'chumra? Is it only us if you scratch under the yarmulke? Or is it either one? If you scratch anywhere, I guess we would consider the scalp under the hair to be mechusa by hair, assuming that that's the case. And or if you touch even elsewhere. Now, the Mishnah Berurah's lashon is, when it says shishuf b'raisha is a problem, Mishnah Berurah says the following, sivkat nun ches, Besare shabaraisha, he says he means the hair of your head. Even though if you touch the zeya, you have to wash. Shani hocha sheinim mechachech bein asarais. Here it's different. You're not scratching between the hairs. Makam hazeya. Ela makanech yodav mamayla. He's only wiping his hands above. Kamosha mefarisha metzayim barama. So he's saying here that if you wipe over here, then it's okay. Now, it's certainly okay. Touching a makom megulah is certainly okay. So, does the Mishnah Berurah here mean that he says, afim noga b'zeya, tzoch nitil ha-shein is, so what does he mean? Shani hocha sheinim mechachech. Does he mean on the part that's uncovered, or even on the part that's covered? In Siman Dalet, it says, the parts that are covered, that's the klal. So here, it's not so clear. It's, I don't know, I hope it's makavadik to say, but Rav Palm, Zechman Levracha, often had a habit of scratching himself, his hair, over here, during shir. And he didn't wash his hands. He didn't rub his hands in his clothing. He had the habit of scratching here, and I assume he held, maybe I asked him, I don't remember, that it's only under the yarmulke that there's a problem. Anywhere else that there's no problem. And that's what we're talking about. The question is do we say this is a makom megulah and even scratching is okay? Now, if someone has dandruff and his hands are dirty, you have to wash your hands, but I'm talking about a normal case. Or does it mean that scratching is always also the scalp is a makom that's covered? So I don't know. From the Darkei Tshuva, who's talking about the Zeya on the Tefillin, seems a little that he's chayshish for the Zeya of the makom Tefillin. So that's what it sounds like, unless the tefillin are big enough to go. It depends how big people wear yarmulkes, you know, some people.
There's no
zeya on
the hair. There's no zeya?
There's zeya.
Is zeya even just stomp hair?
Well, that's a separate issue. We're chayshish v'zei in any makam mechusa. Even if you just took a shower. We assume a makam mechusa has zayah. And unless it's a place that's normally uncovered.
So there's always zayah under the yarmulke.
It's a chmog, it's a chshasa.
A lot of people touch their beards.
It says after you come out of shower, if you know it's clean, you don't have to wash. Okay? It makes, I understand. This is not a gzeira, it's just if there's zayah. So that's an interesting question. The question of whether a person who puts on a shalyad and touches his hand, whether he has to wash. In Tervadas, they always said b'shem Rabbi Yaakov that it's not mistaver that the makom tefillin is a makom that you have to wash. I saw it b'shem de Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai says, if you're a righty, then your left hand. If you're lefty, then your right hand. It's a makom tefillin. But he at least adds some logic to it. He says, it's a makom agula. People wear it uncovered when they put on tefillin. How much is that? An hour a day? Some people it's 15 minutes a day. You know, it's... So I don't, I don't know. But Lamaisa, that's what it says. I don't. The minhag is not to go wash your hands if you put on not to shalyad, not to shalraish. So I don't know if that's an exception for the putting on of tefillin or what. But certainly, if you touch, you certainly don't have to. Yeah.
How can you make a bracha on the tefillin?
What? Yeah, it says if you have no water, you can rub your hands. I just don't understand. People go like this. You have to. The washing has to be on both sides of the hand and between the fingers. So if you use a cloth, you could do it. People just go like this on the table. I'm not sure. The Shulchan is a Lashon B'Kaisel. I don't know how that means. You have to do your whole hand.
That's like the guys who put a drop of water on their hand.
No, you know, Mishnah, they really only have to wash one. The Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Yom Kippurim says if you stick an etzba into a bathroom, you have to wash the whole hand, but not the other hand. So it seems that the whole hand is connected. But one hand to the other hand, it doesn't seem that it applies. That's the Mishnah Berurah. No. It's not because you might swallow Zaya. There's one issur is to swallow Zaya, and there's one halacha that if your hands are not clean, you have to wash. Zaya, since it's a sign of love, this is something which makes the body, which just makes the hands unclean. Yeah, that's what it says. Now, that's even if you're not eating, that's stamazaya that you have to. That's our question. Whether you have to wash. If you scratch under the yarmulke, you certainly have to wash. If you're learning, I see it could be simach on nikias if you could wipe your hands properly.
Same thing with the beard. I see a lot of people learning.
Yeah, I don't think the face, the zayas upon him, is not sama mothers. The face is different. Okay.
I never noticed that.
I mean, maybe it's mechusa. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Sifhei. Sifhei is a list of additional things that are a sakana. We'll go through the list quickly. We'll go through the Mechaba first. I guess we'll leave the Ramah for next time. Let's go through the list, and then the little bit that the Mefarshim talk about, I guess we'll talk about. Tzarech lizar melite mois bepiv. A person may not put... money, coins into any money, I guess, into his mouth. There may be on them reik yavesh, dry saliva of people with illnesses of mukeshkin. The shach says on that shach gimel haran kosev atam neshiyada kol mimashmeshes ben. Many people touch it. Yesh mehem chaylim zuamasam davka behem. Some people are ill. Zuamo, I guess here means their whatever body liquids they have, maybe attached to it. Voice of zuamo kashal adam shnayis lepiv. That is not healthy. It's a health issue. I don't know what I learned in school, and I don't know if it's true because I don't believe anything they taught me in school anymore. But they taught me that until Louis Pasteur came along, no one knew about germs, and no one knew. That's what they say, right? No one knew anything about germs. And Mr. Pasteur came around, he was zeichet to have his name on all the milk containers, b'schus that he learned. His chiddush was that you can kill him by boiling, or his chiddush was that there's such a thing as germs. He was mechadish, the metzias of germs. So that idea of germs, Chazal knew about a long time ago. Not only that, we're going to have next week, in the end of Sifhei, it says that when there's a disease in town, you should leave town, but only the beginning of the disease, not at the end. which we know today is to be true, I think, and certainly many diseases, that it's only something which is dangerous in the earlier parts. Is that true? I know with chickenpox it's that way. They tell you it's too late, you know. They say, oh boy, better get the kids out of here. I say, it's too late. If they caught it, they caught it already. By the time the sores come out, it's... At any rate, Chazal apparently were aware of germs. Whether they called it germs or not, I don't know. But they said that you're not allowed to put a coin in a mouth. Now, the only place I know where this is brought... Yeah, it's a sakana. Even be ill from it. Chazal didn't want you to be ill from it either.
Even if it's not that, it's just the dirtiness also makes people sick.
Okay. And... it means it's in Shulchan Aruch, and you can't dispute the fact that it's in Shulchan Aruch. Now, what their intention was, well, it's a gezeira, I don't know. And like I said, if you take a coin and you sterilize it, I assume it's mutter. Because I don't think Chazal Asa would have liked plug. But... it seems to take on the chumrah of something brought in Shulchan Aruch. And... Lamaiso with Macbeth, whether how chomer it is, I don't know. Now, the only place I've seen this discussed is regarding kissing a Sefer Torah, kissing the mantle with your mouth. Rav Henkin was very stark that a person should not kiss a Sefer Torah with his mouth for two reasons, he said. One, because it says that you have to be chayshish to the reich of other people. And secondly, he said, you have to have an ema from a Sefer Torah. A person doesn't go to the queen and kiss her on her face. Cheek, you know, you have to kiss at a distance. So Rav Henkin was against it. However, the Gedolei Yisrael I've seen, Rav Moshe, Zechariah Levrachi, Bad L'Chaim, Rav He, Rav El Yashiv, they all kiss the Sefer Torah with their mouth, and they seem to be weathering the germs very well. So I don't know what they can kiss the queen. Okay, but as far as the germ part, at least, on Shem Mitzvah La'Yeda Davara. So somebody wrote a letter to Rechai Kanievsky. So I saw someone wrote a letter to him. So he wrote in one word, Nayagin Lahakal. Shkayach? Nayagin Lahakal, okay.
Of the queen.
The hand of the queen? Okay. What? The robes of the queen. Okay, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what it says here in Allah. If a person feels the ema, so then it's good to kiss it with your hand. If you could be margish to Ema, if you're not margish to Ema, so then you don't kiss it with your hand. It's someone here in Shul gave my wife to give me 2 kvitloch to put into the kaisel. So I told my wife, I don't touch the kaisel. I try to practice Ema. I don't touch the kaisel. I don't stay right next to the kaisel. I try to practice what many Gedolei Yisrael had Ema. So what do I do with the kvitloch now? I don't know what to do. So I took them to the kaisel. I was a stall there. I put them, I think it's just as good a place. They have an Or Sameach behind the Aron Kodesh, a box where they put Sheamus. So I put the kvitloch by the Aron Kodesh of Or Sameach. It'll be there with Shani and Kippur. It's also good, no? So it's a kaisel there too. So what? I mean, I never was Makabal to put it there. I don't know. But if you feel the Ema, it's a good idea. If you don't feel the Ema, so you feel the Ava, so you kiss the Sechel. What? I don't think it's right. Okay. Now the second of these things, I never saw it brought in any sefer. No. The second halacha, v'loyitem pas yodoi tachas shefyav. Now help me with this. It says not to put your palm of your hand under your underarm. Shema noga yadei b'mitzayra oy b'sam ra. Now, Chazal understood the underarm to be a mokum sakana. Now, I would like to explain the way I understand this, otherwise it's hard to understand. Generally, Chazal, we find, held that parts of the body which don't have a barrier to the blood vessels, like the top of the hand. Top of the hand, the blood vessels are very close to the skin. Any break in the skin is liable to infect the blood. Chazal understood that any place where the blood is very close to the skin is a makom sakana. And before we had antibiotics, I'm assuming it was that way, because germs could easily get, even with a superficial break in the skin. You all know that if you get a little cut in the fat of your hand here, it doesn't bleed. You can peel off a little skin, nothing happens, unless it's deep. If you get it here, then it bleeds. So I'm guessing that the underarm also is considered to be a makom sakana, because it's a place where there's the blood is close to the surface. And although I can't imagine why a person would get a cut in his underarm, but I'm assuming that's why Chazal l'chayshish. Dr. Amawi, you have any comment? No, but what are you afraid? Well, the Mitzvah Zayah didn't get into my underarm. I'm not supposed to put the palm of my hand under my underarm, because my hand may have shaken hands with a Mitzvah who has a on his hand. So it seems I'm afraid I'm going to transport germs to the underarm. That's what it sounds like. You shouldn't lick your fingers. Same thing, yeah. Kol shekein. The saliva happens to have certain. Right, so it'd be the same thing here. Chazal consider. You already here have the. Well, how are you going to shake hands with someone without touching the top of your arm? I don't know. It's a place where things could fester, maybe. All right. Okay, these are all conjecture. Next, v'lo yitin tavshol v'lo mashkin tachas amita neshurach rashayra. Now, this is something that comes up. Not putting, doesn't say food. It says not putting cooked food or drink under a bed. But neshurach rashayra. I'd like to point out to you, it doesn't say not to put it under a bed when someone is sleeping. It says not to put it under the bed.
Overnight
and
or any time.
It doesn't say anything about overnight.
Yeah.
And don't store your knife by sticking it into an esrig, or into an onion. A person may fall on its point and die. I invite you to explain this one to me. Can someone explain this? Obviously, when they stored a knife, they would stick it into something. Now, if you stick it into a small thing, is that what he means? The point will protrude on the second side, and people won't realize it. Sitting is pretty safe. I don't think a person would get cut there. He has a lot of protection. I think it's more that he may grab it with his hand and think that the Shema Yipal Adam. Oh, a person may fall on it. I don't know. It sounds like such a vaita cheshash. I don't know. When I was a bacher, there was somebody. Yossi, maybe you remember Shia Eisen? You remember Shia Eisen? There was a young man who had leukemia. He was about 7-8 years older than me. But I used to visit his house twice a week, one night a week and Shabbos. And we used to learn to Erevin. That was the first time I learned to Erevin. I was a high school boy. And somewhere in Erevin came up the inyan of sandal hamasumer. Chazal asked wearing cleats on Shabbos. It's also to wear cleats. Why? Because Tamachas, during the Roman persecutions, the people were hiding in a cave. And there was a rumor that the soldiers were coming. There was a panic to run out. And they stepped on each other. And since they were in cleats, they harmed each other, killed each other. And it happened on Shabbos. So Chazal asked wearing cleats on Shabbos. Now, L'chair makes no sense. Now that we have cleats on Shabbos, same sakana as the whole week. And because of the so Shabbos are hiding in a cave with cleats. So this Shia, his father, was a Talmud of Rav Aaron. And we were learning in the house. So he told us that someone asked Rav Aaron this question. And Rav Aaron told him that Chazal, when they asked certain things because of a Maisa Mishunah that happened, it's not because they said the Maisa Mishunah will repeat itself. But they understood from such a Maisa Mishunah that happens that it's not a Dova Merutza. That it's not in the eyes of Shemayim, it's like Megadol L'chayv Ayedei Chayev. That such a strange thing should happen, they understood that there's something wrong with it. And Mimela, whether it means Kabbalistically or not, I don't know how to explain it unless it's Kabbalistically, but they understood when a Maisa Mishunah happened. That's why we find occasionally in Chazal that they asked certain things. Now, this is Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi said they asked sticking a sakin into a esrigot snain. Shema yipal adam al-chudav ayamais. Now, it doesn't say that it happened, but maybe, I'm just guessing, as a possible source for this. It falls on the flat side. It's much more dangerous. Yep. Okay. So, what? Skip. Oh, I skip. Lo yiten kiko lechem tachas hashechi. I went from Moshech to the Azeiah. It says not to put food under the underarm. The Azeiah, because the sweat, which we already learned, is sweat to samamaves. And therefore, don't put food under the underarm. What does that mean? When you're passing the inspectors at the border, you know, they used to hide things under the underarm, so don't put bread under the underarm. But that's what it says. We're going to come back next week to the isser of things under the bed. There's two Pesachim on it. So we'll come back to Mr. Shabbat.